First thing we know about him is that he is a ruler. It tells us that, behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. So we know his name is Jairus, and we know he's one of the rulers of the synagogue. What does that mean? Well, the ruler of the synagogue would have had quite an important role in life in these days. He would have been somebody who would have had a high position. He would have been in the synagogue, which would have been the centre of the community for the Jewish people. Everyone went to the synagogue to pray, to learn, and to celebrate. It was the social, economical, and political centre of the Jewish life. And the rulers of the synagogue would have been well thought of, well respected. They would have been wealthy, and they would have been looked at, and people would have sought them out on a daily day-to-day in their life. So we also know that Jairus was a man who was suspected by people in the synagogue, by people who would come to the synagogue, and that he was a wealthy man. He would have spent his time in the synagogue people watching as well, I mean looking over the task that he would have had. And if you could imagine that he would have had all this to do, he would have been an important figure and he would have had success. He would have been viewed as a successful kind of person. He would have had responsibility and power within the realm of the synagogue. And the second thing you have to note about this is when he has all his position and limited power, he was also a ruler and would have been with the Pharisees and whoever, those other leaders who would have rejected Jesus, who was coming with this powerful preaching, the word of God, doing all these miracles. And of course the Pharisees and the rulers were the ones that were opposing Jesus at this time. So Jairus was supposed to reject Jesus. He was supposed to have nothing to do with him because Jesus was making his job harder in the synagogue and in the ruler's life. In fact, Jesus was threatening the very lifestyle that he had and was condoning at times the authority of the Pharisees. You'll see it time and time again. Yet, in Jairus' time of need, he didn't run to the Pharisees, he didn't run to the rulers, he came to the very feet of Jesus. What made Jairus come to view David, to view Jesus in a different light? In Mark, we're told that Jesus often went into synagogues when he went to different places to teach. And in Mark, we're told that he went into a synagogue in Capernaum, entered in and taught. And when he was in there teaching, they were astonished at the authority that he had, an authority greater than that of the scribes. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region, throughout all of Galilee. So Jairus would have, some have said that they suggested this synagogue that Jesus went into may have been the synagogue that he would have indeed been a ruler over. And he may well have heard Jesus teach. He would have seen or heard the signs that Jesus would have proclaimed. And he may have seen some of the healings that Jesus had done. So knowing this and seeing this, Jairus had no other option but to come to Jesus. And when Jairus runs to Jesus' feet and falls to him and in a position, if you will, of worship, because he's bending over and he's at his feet and he's asking Jesus to make a difference, to intercede, he is acknowledging straight away that Jesus' way is better than his way, is better than the Pharisees' way, is better than every other way, and that he is the only person that can make the difference. I'm going to make you laugh a wee bit, maybe. When my daughters were ill, I was the worst father in the world. And I remember Hannah used to suffer from spiking temperatures. And I remember this one particular night, Hannah's temperature was about 39. And, you know, I was panicking. So I just stuck her in the car. It was about 2 a.m. in the morning. Flew over to the Ard Hospital. And on the way over, just arriving, I jumped out of the car and dialed the phone and phoned the out of hours doctor. And they say, out of hours, what is your patient's name and date of birth and all? I said, like, let's just skip that. I said, I'm at the door. They said, what do you mean? I said, I'm at the door, just let me in. No, you have to phone the doctor, and he has to phone me. I said, I don't have time for that, the child's 39 degrees, just let me in. So I got told off for that. And then there was another time, this is the more severe example. Hannah was sick again, lying in her bed, not moving or anything. And I had phoned the doctor already, and he hadn't phoned me back. And I was desperate, so I phoned the doctor again. I said, listen, I said to the woman, I need to talk to a doctor now. Well, I'm sorry, you have to wait till the call comes. I said, but my child is unresponsive. She put the phone down, and next thing I got a phone call from my doctor. What's wrong? What's she doing? What's she doing? Is she breathing? I don't know why she's breathing all right. She's just got a temperature. And he gave me such a rollicking. I will never forget that conversation. That doctor went through me for a shortcut. Because I didn't realise what unresponsive meant. I didn't realise that that meant either dead or close to dead. But I got the response that I wanted. It was that doctor phoned me when I wanted him to phone me. Now that's a bit of an extreme example. But here we have Jairus, who has nowhere else to go, no one else to turn to. His daughter is unresponsive. And he needs something to happen quickly. So Jairus has faith enough to come to Jesus. And the faith can be witnessed in the way that he acts. Here we have a man putting his faith in Jesus when he has no one else to turn to. No one else can bring healing or bring his daughter back to life. And in between this, we have the woman with the issue of blood, who has held up, if you want, Jesus going to the house. And in between times, depending on what gospel you read, the daughter has died. So Jesus has been held up. And you can imagine, if I was Jairus, now, me and my patients, if I was trying to bring Jesus to my house to save my daughter and the woman with the issue of blood showed up, I'd be saying, hang on here, get to the back of the line. We're heading to my house. And, you know, I kind of thought about the situation that's going on, but Jairus must have been okay to say, look, I'm in the hands of Jesus here. Nothing more I can do. Now, Jairus would have been a man who would have had prejudice. He would have been a man who would have viewed Jesus as being in opposition to him. So he would have regarded Jesus as being an outsider, coming in with radical teaching and bringing all the good news and the healings that he was doing. So he had to drop the prejudice straight away. And the prejudice means a judging beforehand. Judging Jesus before he's actually done anything or proved who he was later on in the Testament. He had to drop his pride that he would have had as being a ruler of a synagogue, a leader, a man with responsibility, now had to humble himself before the feet of Jesus. No one likes to show weakness. No one likes to be humbled like this. And this man Jairus did it in the full view of the crowd that would have been swarming around Jesus. Many would have known who Jairus was. And then Jairus would have faced objection from his friends and those closest to him and those in the synagogue for daring to approach Jesus, as I would say, the opposition. Imagine that the closest to you would be disgusted that you would go to someone else who is seeking to, in their view, to destroy everything that the Jews had, and because he thought they were coming against everything that the Pharisees were doing. So Jesus, Jairus is putting himself out in a limb. Jairus, when he eventually gets, Jesus and Jairus are finally getting towards the house, somebody comes out from the house and says to Jairus, "Your daughter's dead. Do not bother the leader or the teacher any longer." And you can imagine how Jairus is feeling when he hears that, because maybe he's thinking, it's too late. The woman with the issue of blood's held me up. It's too late. And Jesus turns around and says to Jairus, "Do not be afraid, only believe." This is a powerful statement that Jesus makes to a man who has just lost his daughter. You have to understand what would be going on in Jairus' head and what was going on around at this time. At that moment, the wailing and the screaming and the shouting would have been going on at the house because the professional wailers would have been there, and people would have been mourning and renting their clothes, and all of that would have been going on. And that's all happening. And you've got Jesus turning around to Jairus when all that's going on and saying, just believe. Talk about believing in something when you think everything has been lost. You know, I can't imagine what it's like the minute you hear your child has died or seriously ill. You must begin to crumble inside. It must be every parent's worst nightmare when they hear that their child is seriously ill. The fear that runs through your blood of hearing that tragic news. But Jairus was not on his own. Even though the unbelieving world were mourning, he would still have Jesus to hold on to. Jesus takes three of the disciples, the mother and the father, with him and enters into the house. Jesus declares before that the child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed Jesus for saying that and mocked him. Notice that Jesus puts the unbelieving world out of the house when he goes in. He separates the unbelieving world from those who would only believe and have faith. The child, the girl, is on the bed. We're told that she's 12 years of age. That's significant because that is at the age where that young girl is about to become a young lady in Jewish thought. Jesus takes the hand of the girl who's lying on the bed, and again he's forbidden from touching her because in the law she would be considered dead. Jesus takes the girl's hand and he talks to her in Arabic and says, "Talitha, kamai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And the girl arises from the dead. And the people that are there witness what is happening, and we're told that they're overcome and amazed by what has happened. A wonderful miracle that Jesus has just brought this young girl back from the dead. Their joy, their happiness, their excitement, everything that must be going on, overwhelming them. And the parents, of course, have all of that going on, and also are dealing with the whole fact that their child had been dead. Dead one moment, alive the next minute. What is going on? Your head would have been spinning. And all you can think of is, it's amazing that Jesus has done this. In this story tonight, briefly, we see that the despair of the mourners is the complete opposite to the hope of Jesus. "Don't bother Jesus," says those who, when the child is dead. And Jesus turned around and said, "No, don't only believe." The distress of the mourners and people crying and screaming, the calmness of Jesus and the peace that he brings in the situation. Jesus can do this. Only he can do this. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he trusted in God his Father in everything that he did. He was able through the Spirit to do the mighty works that we're looking at and to bring peace and joy into hopeless situations. Jairus had nowhere else to turn to when his daughter had died. There was no one else who could do what Jesus had done for him. Jesus had laid himself at the feet of Jesus. Jesus was no respecter of man, and he would never raise one man above another. And the reason I say that is it doesn't matter if you're coming in a position of power and wealth, you have all the money in bank, you have all the position of man. You cannot buy a favour or bargain with God. We learned that year after year, the covenant of works. It doesn't matter if you were the desolate prostitute or the woman caught in adultery or the leader of the synagogue like Jairus. Whatever the sickness, whatever the health issue, whatever the problem, if you bring it like Jairus did in faith to the feet of Jesus, Jesus will hear, will answer your request. It may not always be the way you think it's going to be, but he will answer. Tonight you may find yourself in the situation that we're speaking about. You may find that you've exhausted every avenue, you've exhausted every turn, you've tried every friend, every doctor, every physician. Like Jairus, your last option should really have been your first. All too often people leave turning to Jesus as the last resort instead of the first resort. Many come to Jesus when they've nowhere else to go. I would urge anyone tonight listening to this in the church or listening to this on the podcast to turn to Jesus and to seek him and him alone to heal the issues in your life. And I say heal the issues because your issue may not be a physical illness or a physical sickness or a point of death. Your issue could be any problem in your life. If you seek Jesus with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, if you come to him and repent of your sin, and if you lay it all at his feet, then Jesus will say, like he did to Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe. Tonight as I finish, we need to not to be afraid of the circumstances or the situations or the issues that we have. We only have to believe that Jesus can make the difference and turn those situations around. The same can apply to anyone tonight. Never be afraid. I remember Taddy's sermon last week when he talked about, you know, you never walk alone. And I was going to plagiarize that again tonight because you could. You never walk alone if you've got Jesus. Like Dave said this morning, you've got the Holy Spirit in us, cannot be removed from us. We're never going to be alone. And tonight, we're never alone when Jesus says, do not be afraid, only believe. Never doubt what Jesus can do, and never doubt that he can make the change. Let's pray. Father God, tonight I just give you thanks that you're a God who works in the lives of those who come to you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide us and you direct us and you show us through your Spirit, Lord God, how to come to you in prayer and how to ask for your help. And I ask tonight, Lord, as we begin, Lord, to seek you and to ask you, Lord God, to hear our prayer and our requests of the people and the circumstances that we lift up to you, that you, Lord God, would hear these and answer them according to your will. You would help us, Lord, to be people who believe and not have doubt, who believe and not have fear. Lord, we can't expect to see you work in our lives, work in our circumstances, if we hold fear and doubt. Lord, please help us to have the faith that we need to believe what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay.